From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Tuesday, March 31st, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. The North Carolina Department of Transportation Monday morning opened a community engagement center on West Moorhead Street near Uptown to gather feedback about the controversial Interstate 77 toll lanes project. Steve Harrison has this report.
Many West Charlotte residents oppose the new I-77 toll lanes because they say the project will require homes to be demolished and will further divide their neighborhoods from uptown. The DOT said it will delay issuing a request for proposals from four contractors until late June to give residents more time to weigh in on the highway widening. The state hasn't changed the scope of the project and hasn't guaranteed that the project will change significantly. Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles was asked whether the city might attempt to stop I-77 if residents still oppose it when new designs are released in 2027. She declined to say yes or no.
I don't believe that we will be in that situation. I am optimistic that whatever we're going to do, it's going to be something that's going to be built upon what this commitment today. And so if we're committed to you today, we will be committed when those folks come in and they have the opportunity to speak to the community again and to make sure that we are doing the right thing.
The new community center is at 1023 West Moorhead Street and will be open Monday through Saturday. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
State transportation officials are rolling out new designs and a new way to hear from the public on the controversial plan. The NCDOT released a revised map that includes more sound barriers along the corridor and some minor changes to the route, though it would still destroy homes and park space in Charlotte's Wilmore neighborhood. Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools Superintendent Crystal Hill said Monday that a lack of adequate state funding creates budgeting challenges and puts more pressure on local governments to make up the shortfall. James Farrell has more.
Hill was asked on Charlotte Talks Monday morning about this year's $2.1 billion budget recommendation and whether the number would be lower if other sources provided adequate funding. Hill noted that while the state provides funding to schools to pay teachers, some teaching positions are funded by local tax dollars.
The state doesn't give us enough teachers to operate. If we only operated with the number of teachers the state gave us, our class sizes would be huge. We would not be able to offer all of these wonderful programs that I mentioned, the Montessori, the language, the early call, all of those things. So we have to turn to our county funders to support us.
CMS is requesting roughly $699 million from Mecklenburg County, about $31 million more than last year. That includes $9.7 million to account for potential state salary and benefit raises. While the state covers those costs for allotted teachers, CMS needs Mecklenburg County to chip in more to make sure locally funded positions get those raises too. James Farrell, WFAE News.
Firefighters are battling a growing wildfire in Wilkes County, about 20 miles north of North Wilkesboro. The U.S. Forest Service says the blaze has grown to 620 acres. Crews have only contained about 20% of the fire. Community members are calling for the dismissal and resignation of Gaston County School Board member Todd Kinlaw, following a controversial social media post regarding the Islamic faith. WSOC reports leaders from the Islamic Center of Charlotte and the NAACP have criticized the post, which described Islam as a satanic cult. The post, which has since been deleted, labeled Allah Satan and Muhammad a false prophet. Kinlaw acknowledged creating the post, but defended his actions as a matter of constitutional rights. The city of Gastonia says Deputy Chief Brad Best has been promoted and will serve as its next fire chief when Chief Phil Welch retires May 1st. Best has over 3 decades of experience in the fire service, beginning his career as a volunteer firefighter with South Gastonia Fire Department and as a firefighter with the city of Hickory. Latino leaders and community members gathered in Uptown Monday for the 10th annual Contemplation Breakfast. Julian Berger has more.
Hosted by the National Council for Leadership, the event highlights the impact of local leaders. Farmworker activist Yesenia Cuelo and Concord firefighter Gilberto Mesa Corral were inducted into the nonprofit's Hall of Fame. This year's breakfast comes after organizers removed Cesar Chavez's name a few weeks ago, following sexual assault allegations against the late labor leader. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
Spring break is here. Many are headed out of town on vacation by way of the airport. Kenneth Lee has more on what they can expect and what airport officials are saying.
Charlotte Douglas airport officials are expecting over 1.68 million passengers to travel through the airport by April 12. Airport officials said 325,000 of those passengers will originate in Charlotte, an 8% uptick compared to last year. Peak travel days are expected to be Thursday and Friday this week, and Saturday, April 12. In addition, parking will be on demand, and officials are encouraging passengers to reserve their parking before arriving at the airport. While the partial government shutdown remains in place, TSA levels may still affect security wait times, and travelers are encouraged to arrive early. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
As the fighting continues in the Middle East, average gasoline prices in Charlotte have fallen slightly, 1.7 cents per gallon in the last week, now averaging $3.78 a gallon. That's according to Gas Buddy's survey of 665 stations in the city. Charlotte area prices are about $1.05 higher than a month ago and over 88 cents per gallon higher than a year ago. Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles on Monday praised the North Carolina Department of Transportation board member who some say threatened the city with losing state money for other highway projects if Charlotte rejects the Interstate 77 toll lane project. Steve Harrison has this report.
At a meeting last week, NCDOT board member Steven Rosenberg urged Charlotte to not stop the I-77 toll lanes. Speaking to the Charlotte Regional Transportation Planning Organization, he said not only would Charlotte lose $600 million set aside for that highway widening, but as a board member, he would question whether the DOT should fund other highway projects in the area.
If this transportation board decides not to go through with this, whether they can or cannot, I'm not an attorney. I'll stay out of that discussion. It's going to affect other work we're doing too. Let's be realistic here. We've probably spent about $50 million on this already. So if the city doesn't want this, then I, as a board member, would say, well, what does the city want? Should we be involved in these other projects?
The Southern Environmental Law Center in Sustain Charlotte said Rosenberg's comments were a threat meant to intimidate Charlotte City Council members. They said that a 13-year-old state law requires transportation projects be ranked on metrics like safety, cost, and congestion relief. DOT board members are not allowed to interject themselves into what projects are funded. Mayor Lyles attended the opening Monday of the DOT's new Community Engagement Center on I-77. She was asked about Rosenberg's comments.
Mayor, when you heard the comments last week at the CARCO meeting from Steven Rosenberg, how did you take those in terms of risk and potential?
I've known Steven for a very long time.
But how did you perceive his comments?
Lyles then praised Rosenberg, who was appointed by the legislature in 2020.
I think that he was working to build out some information that he felt that everybody wanted to have. And I think Stephen does a great job, and I believe that he really works hard. And so why don't you ask him about that, and then we'll go from there.
It might seem unusual for Charlotte's mayor to praise an official who, at the very least, suggested Charlotte might lose state money for other projects if it rejects the toll lanes to protect historically black neighborhoods near Center City. But Lyles wants the I-77 expansion to move forward with a design that minimizes impacts to homeowners. She does not want the city council to take a potentially decisive vote to stop the project. And Rosenberg's comments were almost certainly heard by city council members unsure of what to do. When asked whether the city council might stop the project if residents are unhappy with new designs in 2027, Lyles declined to say yes or no.
I don't believe that we will be in that situation. I am optimistic that whatever we're going to do, it's going to be something that's going to be built upon what this commitment today. And so if we're committed to you today, we will be committed when those folks come in and they have the opportunity to speak to the community again and to make sure that we are doing the right thing.
NCDOT Board Chair Tony Lathrop also attended Monday's opening. When asked about Rosenberg's comments, he said,
I think I would just ask him that because I'm going to let, you know, what he said be taken at face value. I'm not going to get into what was appropriate or what wasn't.
He also said he would not support Charlotte losing state funds for other roads if it rejects I-77.
I'm not sure that's what he said, but I wouldn't support that. I'm not going to characterize what he said one way or the other, but the answer to your question to me was no.
The new Community Engagement Center is at 1023 West Moorhead Street. It will be open 6 days a week. Residents can drop by or make an appointment to talk with DOT officials about how I-77 might impact their homes and neighborhoods. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
And for Tuesday, March 31st, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.